Empowerment month. Be empowered. Be empowered. Tell everybody around you. I didn't say tell one person. All the people around you. Be empowered. Be empowered. Tell them and say, if you have been empowered, sit down. If you have not been empowered, stand up. Until you are empowered before you sit down. God bless you. Let's take a little exhortation that may help somebody, should help somebody. Amen. And I pick my text from Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28.
And God blessed them, and God said unto them.
May they open Bible first. Lay reader. Lay reader. As if you know that's where I'm going to read. Waiting. It'll be computer. It'll be artificial intelligence. Okay, Genesis 1:28. Everybody, now listen very well.
And God blessed them.
Yes.
And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree, in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so.
Amen. And something happened to Adam. He lost it. But Noah found grace. Hallelujah. And in Genesis chapter 9, it was... that commission was given to him again. And verse 1.
And God blessed Noah.
Verse 3. Yes.
And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth and upon all the fishes of the sea. Into your hand are they delivered. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you. Even as the green herb have I given
you. Go to verse 7.
All things.
Verse 7.
And you, be ye fruitful and multiply. Bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply therein.
Amen. And the title of my exhortation is, be fruitful and multiply. Be fruitful and multiply. To be fruitful is a commandment from God. Non-negotiable. It's an order. It's a commandment. And to be fruitful here, amen, there is a physical fruitfulness and there's a spiritual fruitfulness. And to fulfill that commandment, that is one interesting thing about God. When he gives you an assignment, he gives you all that you will need to fulfill that assignment. When he gives you a commandment, he gives you the ability to keep that commandment. When he gives you a ministry, he gives you the grace to carry out that ministry. If he calls you to preach, he will give you knowledge. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If he gives you, if he calls you, give you assignment to go and win souls, he will arm you with the fishing bait because you become a fisher of men. That is the interesting thing about serving this God. Very, nothing stressful in keeping the commandment of God. I repeat, nothing stressful. And I keep saying this to help all of us, reformat all of us, our thinking, our mind, our perception of the Christian faith. So that this false or wrong presentation of the Christian faith will be erased from our mind to understand grace and mercy. We're a product of the mercy of God and the grace of God. We are saved by grace and not works. It's not because you have done anything that God saved you. No, it is His mercy. If you ever understand that, then in the plan of God's salvation, in the business of God's salvation, all that is required from every one of us that are beneficiaries of grace and mercy is nothing but surrender, submission, availability. Nothing more. Just make yourself available for Him to do what He wants to do with you. That's all. But many of us think we have any part other than this to play in the process of our own salvation. No. And when I say submitting yourself, another word for submitting yourself is obedience. That's all. Obedience. If He said anything He tells you to do, just do it. And you know what? His yoke is easy and His burden is light. So He will never give you a load that you cannot carry. He can never give you a commandment that you cannot obey. Even if He decides to let you go through fire to achieve the purpose, He will give you the ability to go through that fire. Oh, glory be to God. That's why He said, there has no temptation overtaking you but such that is common to man. There is no problem a Christian is going through that is strange. And no, He will not allow any problem to finish you. Every problem is to work out His purpose, God's purpose in our lives. The day we catch this, is it difficult to answer, come? He said, come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Come now, you cannot come. It's come, your problem. The reason why it is your problem is because where you are is a comfort zone. You are so used to serving, to being a slave, until when freedom is coming to you, you are afraid. You are thinking you are going to another master. And that is how Christianity has been presented. Instead of seeing Christianity as a freedom, you are thinking that it is another master that you are going to enslave again. So make a kuku remain where I am. Make a no go take another suffer. And even if you leave, the preachers are going to tell you, you have another master that you will enslave yourself who is called Jesus. Make sure you fast dry so that He will bless you. But where you were before, you know they fast too. You know they do that, you know. At least you be slave, sharp. But this Christian, oh, too hard though. Don't do this. Don't do that. Don't do this. Don't do that. That is not Christianity. That's not Christianity. It's freedom. There's a liberty of the spirit, which we didn't have as slaves to Satan. But because we don't understand it, many of us cannot sleep. Every night, somebody told me for how many months he has been doing vigil, for how many months. So that what will happen? You must tell me, oh, there must be evidence of that fasting you are doing, oh, so that I will believe that you are not possessed. It's Satan that may be tormenting you. Then you will hear people will say, I didn't know I backslided. Backslided to who? So imagine now the way I was, the type of life I was living before. Nightclub, then I will leave night vigil and go to nightclub. What thing happened? I don't know. I just backslid. I didn't backslid anything. I didn't understand the freedom that God gave me. Brethren, it is sweet to serve Jesus. You didn't say amen because you have not experienced it. No, it's because you have not experienced it. That is why. Because if I'm telling you what you two you are enjoying, the amen will come before I finish the statement. No, but that's the truth. And I'm not telling you to tell me amen. No. I'm only making you understand who you are and where you are. That's the truth. Amen. The best thing that can happen to any human being is to find Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, and I'm a witness. I am a witness. I am evidence of grace. Hallelujah. I am evidence of grace. What of you? If you are, then let the whole world know you are evidence of grace. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. When God told Adam, hallelujah, to be fruitful and multiply, amen, the ground that he is supposed to plant and multiply was provided. Amen. The land was there. Hallelujah. Adam was given a woman. A woman. And he's supposed to bring forth after his kind. He's supposed to multiply himself. And if he's going to be fruitful and multiply himself, God has given him the seed. The seed is with him. But he needed the ground. And the ground is the woman. To receive the seed for the reproduction. Genesis 1 verse 11 says, everything was to bring forth after its kind. Animals bring forth animals. Therefore, human beings too, we bring forth human beings. And the seed is with him. That is why I say, Adam was not the one to look for seed anywhere. The seed is already with him. But he needed a ground to plant it. So he gave him a woman. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And that woman was physically brought out from Adam. And we know how it happened. Adam was put to sleep and the woman was brought forth. Without the woman, that commandment cannot come to pass. Amen. That is why I say when God gives you an instruction, he makes a way for you. And that's why I disagree with ministers that will say, God called me that I should go to Mbise and raise a church. And then they are writing letters looking for sponsors. Amen. It's wrong. Many of you come to me, maybe you are listening to me now. Pastor, this is happening. This is happening. And as if you want to help God. It's lack of understanding. I had a ministry. I learned this. Some of these things I share with you is something I've experienced. From 1990 to 1996 or so, 95, I had a ministry that I set up that we call the West African Prisons Outreach. I organized it in such a way that we are visiting 93 prisons in Nigeria every week. It took me to every country in West Africa, visiting the prisons there. It took me also to East Africa, to Uganda. I visited places, preaching to prisoners. I set up libraries where I was setting up sermon books of William Branham and Bibles. In Calabar Prison, Uyo Prison, you go there, the epic Bibles you see in those prisons were supplied by me. And I was working and sponsoring my ministry. But suddenly, everywhere dry. Until even the rent for the office, I could not pay. I was given quit notice. I found myself having to beg to even pay the staff that were working with me. And I visited a brother in Ekoi. And I was telling him what I was going through. And how I had to go and borrow money from so-so-so place, so-so person. And he just looked at me and said, Haba, Brother Moses, you are borrowing money to serve God. Haba. How did it sound in your ear? It was like they were piercing me with, with a sword. And my head was reformatted. Not true. Now God had a servant. I say, if there is no money, then that means the ministry is over. Oh, glory be to God. Praise the Lord. However, the ministry was over, but the passion was not over. I don't know if you're understanding my grammar. My heart was still with the prisoners, but the money was not there. Therefore, I needed to think again. How will I go about it? I decided to go around every town that the prison we were visiting was there, because I got the permission from Abuja, the headquarters of the prisons, to be allowed to minister in all the prisons in Nigeria. And so, I will go to every enter-message or the nearest to that prison. I'll visit them and begin to preach to them. That, see, I was a prisoner. If the message, if somebody did not come into the prison to preach, I would not have been saved. It means God's seed is inside the prison. Visit the prisons. I am evidence. I organized an international prisons ministry convention meeting at Ilorin, and people from all over, they attended. I was educating them to see the need to go to the prison. And after, I handed over all the 93 prisons to the churches that were near there, and the ministry continued. Hallelujah. Then I came here and they decided to take care of the ones in Lagos and Ogun State. At least I can just drive, go here, drive, go, and drive and come back. I didn't need any money for that. Amen. And so the ministry continued. For anybody to say, hey, God call me. Hey, but how will I do? And then they even write letters. Come and sponsor my ministry. The person that sponsors your ministry will direct your ministry. That's why before they start to fight. Immediately the ministry start, fight go start, and they go court. This was not our agreement. When God called Abraham, Adam, and gave him commission, his ministry was to be fruitful. He gave him the seed, and he gave him the ground. He gave him the woman. Praise the Lord. And so also it is with the spiritual children of God. All died under the first Adam. The last Adam, what is his name? We are new creation in Christ. Amen. The second Adam is a spiritual creation. And he too must be fruitful. And so he was put to sleep at the cross on Calvary, so that his wife too can be produced and become the word. I mean, the ground that he will plant the seed he has in them and for them to multiply. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. For reproduction, the seed is given to us, the bride of Jesus. So that's why we are called the bride. We are his wife. And he plants the seed in us. And this, hallelujah, so that we shall produce spiritual fruits. The seed is spiritual seed to produce spiritual fruits. Fruit seed. To produce spiritual seed. We are to multiply that seed. And to accomplish that, I say he gave him the Eve. And those Eves are the believers. Are they here today? Are they here today? Are they here today? God brought you out of Christ blood and water came out. It was announcing to us birth, a new birth. Produce you and I to be his wife, to receive seed and multiply. But unfortunately, see the type of Eve that Jesus Christ has. He gave us in a type in Mark chapter 4 from verse 1. Let's read it.
And he began to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea. And the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine.
Listen very well, because I'm talking to you in particular. I am talking to you in particular. In particular. Let's look away from the denomination, from the spirit of Antichrist. Let's come to ourselves now. Go on.
Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow.
What does he sow? He sows seed. And when you sow seed, then you expect it to come and harvest. The seed is supposed to multiply itself. When you sow one, that one seed will multiply and plenty of seed will be harvested. Go ahead.
And it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside.
Unfortunately, some fell by the wayside.
And the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up. And immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched. And because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, and some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear.
Amen. You see the different grounds where the seed is sown. God hates unfruitfulness. That's the reason why he was teaching them using that parable. God hates it. In Luke chapter 19, verse 11, the parable and of the talent.
And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because it was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them £10 and said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained £10. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou of authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained £5.
Uh-huh.
And he said likewise to him,
okay,
be thou also over 5 cities.
Uh-huh.
And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin.
As you give me, that's why I hold them all.
For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up, thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he said unto him, out of thy own mouth will I judge thee,
okay,
thou wicked servant.
What did he call him?
Wicked servant.
What did he call him?
Thou wicked servant.
You receive the seed, the talent that God gives you, and you don't use it. God looks at you as a wicked person. Go ahead.
Thou knewest that I was an austere man, and taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required my own with usury? And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you, that unto everyone which hath shall be given.
Uh-huh.
And from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him.
Uh-huh.
But those my enemies which would not that should reign over them, bring it down and slay before me.
Hey! God hates unfruitfulness. Church, listen. I told you the other time, I think here or during the empowerment hour, a pastor that visited me 2 weeks ago, and we were sharing the scriptures with him, and he asked me, he says, sir, tell me, how do you study the Bible? How do you get to know these revelations? How do you study the Bible? And I told him that anytime I pick the Bible to study, I am looking at myself. What is this thing speaking to me? I said, some of you read it so that you will go and teach. Me, I read it so that I will line up myself with what the Bible is saying. And when you approach the Bible that way, then God will open it up for you to understand. Because you are sincere. There are people that study the Bible to show that they know. They are the ones that will go, and then when they reach the market, they say, Catholic, do you know Pope is the Antichrist? I'll prove it for you in the Bible. What has that got to do with your salvation? You, when they talk. How has it improved your spiritual life that so tell you they carry and go for evangelism? And that is why I told you, in my former church, I was just an ordinary member, but you know I love the word. Anything I cannot find myself that can help my spiritual life in the Bible, I'm not interested in it. That's why when you ask me, how many children did Mary have? I'll say, what? How has that got to do with my salvation? Why must I know how many children she has? Now, so that's evidence I know by Bugabi. But if you ask me, have you received the Holy Ghost? Hey, let's talk about it. Praise the Lord. And so, we had this teacher among us that was good with mystery, mystery, mystery. You will come, they will preach mystery, 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 mystery. They spent so much time on the doctrine of the serpent seed. It is sex that took place. Serpent took place and produced Cain and this one and blah, 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 blah. And then, you know, another one again, Revelation 17, the whole there, mystery Babylon. We go spend the whole year, oh, mystery, mystery, mystery. Then I call him, I say, sir, you have not told us the reason for the mystery, how it affects our salvation. I say, anytime you come to teach, I wait how you go end the message. You have not told me why we must know the doctrine of the serpent seed. Why must I know it? And so one day, one of the American evangelists came, joined me. We were visiting the princes, and he was still talking about the serpent seed. I said, sir, why? What is the importance of the doctrine of the serpent seed? And he said, that is the reason why we must be born again. Our birth has been corrupted. I said, oh, oh. I said, therefore, if I go and preach, you must be born again. And the person agrees and comes out and gives his life to Christ, receives the Holy Ghost. Does that person need the serpent seed doctrine again? He said, no. I said, therefore, let me concentrate on why we must be born again. This is who I am. And I want you to take note of it. It will help you. That is how to study the Bible. Write down the list. You want to go to heaven? This that do this will not go to heaven. Write it so that you yourself, you will know whether the life I live, whether I will go to heaven or not. And judge yourself. The Bible tells us to judge yourself so that you will not be judged. And the only way you will judge yourself is if you allow the scripture to lead you, to talk to you. That's the only reason we study. I'm telling you, the difference between those who study the scriptures, Christians, and those who don't study. I didn't say read the Bible, I said study. It's clear. Very, very clear. Watch their discussion. Before they talk, bah, 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 they don't quote one scripture that supports what they are saying. Like a lawyer. You are talking to a real lawyer. Before you say anything, don't quote for you. Quote for you. Because that's part of his life. I want to challenge you not to just be a religious person. Pay your tithe and your offering and pray into a God you don't even know. Know the God you are serving and have a personal relationship with him. If you don't know him, how will you know how to walk with him? Then you'll be depending on what people will be telling you to do when it is right there in front of you, your Bible. I want to challenge every one of us. Let's go back to the Bible. I don't know how to read. I didn't go to school. There is audio Bible. Download it in your smartphones and listen to it. Listen to sermons that are preached because scriptures are quoted. How can you, for 10 years, you're a Christian, you have not read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation once, and you say you're a Christian? What type of Christian is that? I'm saying this not to your shame, but to challenge you. Wake up. That is not Christianity. That's not Christianity. How can you say you're a lawyer and you don't know the Nigerian Constitution? How are you going to defend the clients? Oh, you lose all your cases. And that is how some pastors are. Follow who know road. I know road, that's why they show you now. Road that will make your life better. Make your Christian journey sweeter. Hallelujah. Make your relationship with God certain. Amen. We are called to be fruitful. And if you are not fruitful, you have been disobedient to a commandment of God. And there is a consequence of that. You saw what? The person that was given the talent, he refused to use it. You see what happened to him. He refused to use it. In Luke chapter 20, from verse 9, see that parable of that vineyard there.
Then began he to speak to the people this parable. A certain man planted a vineyard and let it forth to husbandmen and went into a far country for a long time. And at the season, he sent a servant to the husbandmen.
That is Israel, oh, it's Israel. This is Israel he's talking about. This parable is for Israel, God's own vineyard, where he planted his word, where he planted his seed there for them to multiply. Yes?
And at the season, he sent a servant to the husbandmen that they should give him of the fruits of the vineyard.
They were supposed to be fruitful.
But the husbandmen beat him and sent him away empty. And again, he sent another servant, and they beat him also and entreated him shamefully and sent him away empty. And again, he sent a third, and they wounded him also and cast him out. Then said the Lord of the vineyard, what shall I do? I will send my beloved son. It may be they will reverence him when they see me.
Uh-huh.
But when the husbandman saw him, they reasoned among themselves, saying, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, that the inheritance may be ours.
Uh-huh.
So they cast him out of the vineyard and killed him.
Uh-huh.
What therefore shall the Lord of the vineyard do unto them?
What do you think will happen to that vineyard?
He shall come and destroy this husbandman.
It happened in AD 70.
And shall give the vineyard to others.
And the Gentiles took over.
And when they heard it, they said, God forbid.
Hey, you are saying God forbid, Abi? The people that the parable was meant for, they say, hey, God forbid. Because they did not understand the parable. Even the disciples did not understand what was taking place. In Mark chapter 11, from verse 12, 13 and 14.
And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon.
Uh-huh.
And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet.
Uh-huh.
And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever.
Hey.
And his disciples heard it.
He caused a fig tree, and all of us still ask today, why would Jesus see a fig tree and curse it? Jesus was God Almighty. He hates unfruitfulness. Amen. Okay, because I can stay long on that very action alone. In Luke chapter 13, he made it clearer from verse 1.
There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans, whose blood Pilate mingled.
Listen very well to what Jesus Christ was saying here.
And Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans.
See what Herod did with those Galileans. Killed them, mixed their blood with sacrifice, and, dealt with them. And Jesus told them, what did he say?
Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffer such things. Uh-huh. I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish.
Uh-huh.
Or those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? Uh-huh. I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish.
Uh-huh.
He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard,
uh-huh,
and he came and sought fruit thereon.
And it is Israel again, okay?
And he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground?
Because there is no fruit. Now why are you disturbing yourself over this when there is no fruit in it? What did he say? Cut it down.
And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it.
Uh-huh.
And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that, thou shalt cut it
and
down.
And he waited from AD 33 till AD 70. He didn't bear any fruit as a nation. So he cut it down in AD 70. Is somebody understanding something here? Let me use the opportunity to apologize to those of you who were expecting a different sermon this morning. I changed my mind this morning because we're in consecration period, so we should preach relevant messages. I'll come back to it, and I need a lot of time. So I will start that teaching from the Rapture Watch series when we resume Rapture Watch before I come here, because it's going to be very controversial. Praise the Lord. Let's arm ourselves. Amen. I'm coming to prove to you people that there is no Elijah coming again. There's no Elijah for the Gentile. They will hate me when I finish. Yet they cannot prove otherwise. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Coming to prove to the whole bride of Jesus Christ worldwide that a lot of things we are saying in the past, turn the heart of the father to the children, the heart of the children to the father. John the Baptist fulfilled it. And I'll prove it. The great and dreadful day of the Lord is what happened in AD 70. The wrath to come that John talked about, Jesus Christ talked about. And I'll prove to you that there are two rods, one for the Jews and one for the whole world. And we must not mix it, rightly dividing the word of truth. But for now, let's produce fruit. Let's produce fruit. Let's produce fruit. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yes. Did we finish reading that? That is what Christ was demonstrating by that victory that he caused. But letting you know, now Israel be this, now Israel be this. Now Israel be this. As that tree was caused, that is how Israel was caused. Israel, why will Jesus just see a tree and curse it? It was a parable. Praise the Lord. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 7 to 10, God hates fruitfulness.
But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism,
yes,
he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruit meet for repentance.
Hey. What did he say?
Bring forth therefore fruit meet for repentance.
Bring evidence. The evidence that you have repented is the fruit you will bear. Show evidence that you have repented by the life you are living, for by their fruits we shall know them. Go on.
And think not to say within yourselves,
yes,
we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you, that
Begin to think we have caught the revelation by the last prophet message, and we know who we are. Hey, stop boasting. I am predestinated. Hey, stop that. I am an eternal being. Hey, no, before mouth. There is a work that is done that will show the evidence of this, your profession. Go on. Don't say you'll be a child. We are Abraham's seed. We are circumcised. I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And then verse 10.
And now also the axe is laid.
This is where I am going. Uh-huh.
Now also the axe is laid unto the root of the
trees. The root of the trees.
Therefore, every tree we bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down.
What happens to you? What's the consequence of not bearing fruit?
Hewn down and cast into the fire.
Cast into the fire. Okay, now. That fire there is fire of frustration. Fire of suffering. There is the consequence of disobedience. In John 15, verse 1 and 2, hear what the Lord Jesus Christ said there. Concerning every branch that beareth not fruit.
I am the true vine.
Yes.
And my Father is the husbandman.
Yes.
Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away.
Every branch that beareth not fruit, what will he do?
He taketh away.
He will cut you off. And again.
And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit.
Because he's interested in fruit. If you have the ability to produce fruit, he's also interested in you. He will purge you to bring forth more fruit. More fruit. As Christians, which fruit are we talking about? By now you should know. Number one is the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. And it's in Galatians chapter 5. Some of them are listed there from verse 22.
But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law.
Those are the fruit of the Spirit. Go ahead.
And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust.
And 25.
If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit.
That is the fruit that God is expecting from us. Please list it again from verse 22. Let's list it again.
Joy, love, joy. Love.
Dear. The fruit that God is expecting to see from you and eat is love,
joy,
peace,
long suffering. Gentleness. Goodness. Faith.
Meekness.
Temperance.
And temperance. Against such, there is no law. No condemnation for you again. Now, if you are studying the Bible, won't you write these things down? And at the end of every day, look at it. Where I don't reach. So that you will walk in that area to produce that fruit. The second fruit is the profit of the talent that God has given you, as we read in Luke chapter 19. That is what you do with the gift that God has given you. Remember, we shall all give account of what you did. Because that gift you have, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7, what did he say?
But the manifestation of the
gift
Spirit
is the manifestation of the Spirit. It's given to everyone for what?
To profit without.
To profit is to bring forth more fruit. That is, you are to make gain with it. The gift we have is to win souls. We multiply what we have by winning souls, because when you win soul, you are bringing that person to Christ. And that gift that he gave you, the gift of the Spirit, will be given to that person also who will receive Christ and receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and you also receive the gift. By the action of you, using that talent to bring the person, because you cannot give anybody any gift, but you can bring him to he who will give gift. Hallelujah. Win souls. Go out and preach the gospel. And so he gave you that gift. That gift will help you. When you go to somebody who is sick and you use your healing gift, the healing gift is not for you to pray for people and receive offering. The gift of the word of knowledge, seeing vision for people, is not given to you to use it and collect offering. Then the person goes back to where he's coming from. No. That spirit that you cast out, that power you use to go to a family, wherever you went to, they're always going to the east and Edo. I've never seen any prophet go to the north for family deliverance. His crusade, you went to Nakwangao, his crusade. You didn't visit anybody's house. Even my papa's house, you didn't go there. You don't even know where my papa's house is for Akwanga. Amen. If you go and uproot the shrine in the compound, and from there, if you don't lead the people to Christ, what did you go there for? Amen. I'm talking to somebody. You are the one. You. Say, I know not me. Talk up. I know not me. Okay, you know, not be you. You are looking somewhere else. Anytime I talk, you'll be looking somewhere else. You uncle, you don't get your gift. Every Christian has a gift. Use it and multiply. It is a commandment. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But the only reason why we are unfruitful, number one, is because of the type of soil that you are. Remember, the word of God is the seed we receive for fruitfulness. And not all soils are fertile for the word to take root and germinate and bring forth fruit. Not all soils. And so he demonstrated it in Mark chapter 4. He explained that from verse 14. The type of believers that we are. Mark chapter 4 from verse 14 to verse 20.
And he said, the sower soweth the word. Yes. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. Uh-huh. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown.
Can you
in their
see?
Hearts.
Can you see? They're in the church. Oh.
Uh-huh. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground. Uh-huh. Who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness.
Immediately they receive it with gladness.
And have no root.
But there
in
is
themselves.
No root.
And so endure but for a time.
They will only endure for some time.
Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises
for what?
Word, for the word's sake.
Why is it for the word's sake? It is after that seed of the word you receive. Satan will not allow that seed to stay and do the work to achieve the purpose of the planting of the seed of the word of God. He will bring persecution. He will bring trouble. So that, what will happen? They are offended. And they won't go to church again. They won't pray again. Hallelujah. Read on. And these are they. Yes.
And these are they which are sown among thorns, uh-huh. Such as hear the word.
These are another group of people. You have heard the word, but what?
And the cares of this world.
Money. Children's school fees. Rent, medical bill, what to wear, everything, and what?
And the deceitfulness of riches.
Why did he call it deceitfulness of riches? Because a lot of people think that life consists of the abundance of the things that they possess. It is deceitful because you came to this world with nothing and you are living with nothing. That is why he called it deceitfulness of riches. And what?
And the lust of other things.
Oh, lust, yeah, desiring everything you want to acquire, they enter in after the word has been planted in you and choke the word.
And it becometh unfruitful.
Verse 20.
And these are they which are sown on good ground.
This is the ground every one of us must be.
Such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100.
And he added what?
And he said unto them.
Now, before then, you know, after he gave the parable in verse 9, he says,
he that had ears, let him hear.
Praise the Lord. Listen, for the seed to be fruitful, it's not every seed that you receive that can be fruitful. Oh, the seed must be incorruptible. It's not every word we receive is the word of God. It's not every preacher that preaches the word of God. Oh, praise the Lord. The word of God, the Bible describes it at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23.
Being born again.
How are you born again? With what are you born again? What got you born again?
Not of corruptible seed.
The seed that you were born again with is not the corruptible seed, but what?
But of incorruptible.
And what is it?
By the word of God, which liveth and abideth.
The word of God that you receive cannot be rotten. It is incorruptible. Oh, glory be to God. It has life. Thank you, Brother Harrison. You sent a clip to me yesterday or so, where one elderly man was preaching. And he was saying that the Bible says that the word of God is a hammer. The Bible says the word of God is a fire. And the Bible says the word of God is a sword. He said the hammer is supposed to, you know, hammer, smash the people now. And we get the people converted, humbled, broken down. Why are people no longer getting broken down? If the word we are preaching is the word of God, which is supposed to be a hammer. It's supposed to be a fire. Why are we no longer having the passion of the things of God? We concentrate more on worldly things, on social media, on all the nonsense we see there. All our attention is there. No more passion for the things of God. No more evangelism. No more doing anything spiritual because the fire is not there. Which word did you receive? Where is the fire? And if it is a sword, why is it not piercing asunder to the dividing of the soul, bone and marrow, that will set us converted? It is because what we preach these days largely is not the word of God. Motivational speakers have taken over the pulpit, preaching for commandment, for doctrine, the commandment of men. And what will it produce? No life. Which life? No life. Because the word that we receive, which is supposed to be incorruptible, is now hybridized. It is genetically modified. It is called GMO, genetically modified organisms. And what will it produce? It cannot produce itself because it is hybridized. Hybrid does not produce itself. Therefore, it is a corruptible seed. Oh, hallelujah. And that is the truth. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. When we talk, the way we talk, people look at us and say we are critics. We are critics. Which critics? We are saying that there is an expectation we are not seeing. How can you receive the Holy Ghost and live the type of life you live? And you are saying our destiny is to be conformed to the image of Jesus. Has that image been formed in us? Which seed did you receive? That is why, praise the Lord. It's true now. It's not every word. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11. You have to take note. Take note. Be careful where you go and think it is the church of Jesus Christ. Be careful. From verse 4, what did he say? 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4.
For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him.
So there is another gospel. There is another gospel. Another gospel is the hybridized gospel. Genetically modified. They mix it with the doctrine of men. And what do you see? The kind of product we call Christians today. It's true. They can't even differentiate between truth and error. Once they hear Jesus, it means of God. They see somebody who is having dreadlock, a Malian, a Nollywood star, is given a church to take care of. His father called him, not God called him. And people are sitting down there, not able to see the difference between the church of God and the church of a family. Because what they hear is not the word of God. And that is why there's politics in the church, hatred in the church, all manner of carnality. And I'm not excusing myself because I'm asking myself, why? 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 Why will people come to church no matter how we say it? No matter how we say it, they refuse to change. Why do they refuse to change? Maybe the word we are preaching doesn't carry, or the hammer is not strong. It does not carry fire. The type of fire we carry, maybe in brother assembly, affects only people to vibrate and fall on the ground. It does not pierce to the soul to produce the fruit of the Spirit. Maybe. Or the ground that you are is not the type that can receive what we preach here. So while I am thinking, you too, you should also be thinking. Because 1 John chapter 3 and verse 9 says something.
Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of
God.
Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin.
If you are born again and it is God, you went through it, through the process of conversion by God, it's God that did it on you. He said, you cannot have pleasure in sin. Why?
For
the seed that got you born again is an incorruptible seed. It remains in you. Therefore, we are reading that person, therefore,
he cannot sin because he is born of God.
Because he's born of a seed, the word of God. So that takes us for the seed to be fruitful. Number two, the ground must be prepared and watered and made fertile. Before you go to the farm to plant any seed, there is the clearing, there is the manure you put there, you make sure there is enough earth there before, and that the ground is fertile before you plant a seed and expect a fruitful harvest. And that is why when you come to Christ, he starts the work in you. What did he say? Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. He said, I love the language he used there.
For we are his workmanship.
Again.
For we are his workmanship.
Again.
For we are his workmanship.
Again.
For we are his workmanship.
Hey, I am a project of God. Eh? Created where?
Created in Christ Jesus unto good works.
Why did that? Okay, go ahead.
Which God had before ordained that we should walk in them.
If we are created in Christ Jesus, it is because Jesus is the Word of God. What is the process for our conversion that he called workmanship of God? That is exactly what you see in Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 24.
For I will take you from among the heathen,
yes,
and gather you out of all countries, and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you.
It is God doing it, for I will. It is I will. It's preparing the ground to put his word there. What? How does he do it?
Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you.
We have to get it. Not on clean water. Not on clean water. That is why he said all tables are full of vomit. None is clean. Table where food is served. The word of God is served. And ye shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. You see the work? What will happen then?
A new heart also will I give you.
I again, God Him saying, I will give you a new heart.
And a new spirit will I
he
put
within
you.
He will put a new spirit within you.
And I will take away
he will remove. Can you see the work He's doing? We are His workmanship. We are His project. Why is He doing that? So and then I'll, He will do what?
And I'll give you an heart of flesh.
He will not give a heart of flesh.
And I will put my spirit within
you. It is only then, and you can only receive the spirit through the word of God. And cause you to walk in my statue, and you shall keep my commandments and do them. In other words, it is then you will become fruitful. Has your heart been broken down? Has your spirit been changed? The taste that you have. People here still have the taste of worldly fashions, especially the women. Remember, the fashion of the women is getting more and more to expose their nakedness. They are becoming less and less shameful and more shameless. When a woman decides to dress and show her labs, you know that she's a shameless person. They glorify that in the world. See, yesterday I said something. Can I repeat it in Leviticus chapter 19? Verse 29, read it.
Do not prostitute thy daughter.
Again.
Do not prostitute thy daughter.
It was a commandment to Israel. Do not do what?
Prostitute thy daughter.
Do not prostitute thy daughter
to cause her to be a whore.
To cause her to be a whore. A whore jumps from man to man. How do you prostitute your daughter? He said, oh no, it's not that you advertise her in WhatsApp and then in magazine. And then if you want man, come and pick one here. If you want woman, come and pick one here. Then they take her in the evening, go for Kwanangida and come back in the morning. And then she'll bring money. That is part of it too. Some do that. But I want to let you know that you too can be doing it. I may not know you are doing it, and God is saying you are doing it. How do your daughters dress? You allow your daughter to dress like a prostitute. There is the attire of a harlot. You allow your daughter to dress sexily. You are prostituting your daughter. God will judge you for it. God hates it. Amen. You are sitting there seeing your daughter dress. Then there is the language. That's how their mates are dressing now. That is how their mates are dressing. Mates in heaven or mates in hell? Mates where? Or every daughter you have, every small girl you have, the type of hair style they do, now the mama do them. Some mothers even pay the hairdresser to produce it. You are shameless. You don't know it. You are disgracing the faith. The Muslims that we say they don't know life, see the way they dress. No matter how beautiful they are, they cover everything. You Christian, that we have the commandment of the Lord. The Muslims respect their Bible, their Quran, more than we respect our Bible. Until, that is the characteristic of the children of God. He had to tell Israel, if I be your father, then where is my honor? The Rechabites, sons of Rechab, they kept the word of their servant to so many generations. Never to drink alcohol. They said, our father told us not to, and we have kept the word. But you, Israel, Uncle, with the Bible in your hand, you are dressing like a prostitute and speaking in tongue in the street. To disgrace the faith. Indecency. Normal people, there is a lady. And there's a prostitute. Do you know that people dress, women dress to advertise their physique, their curves. Tighten the top. Dress and leave a part of the breast to show. Then you will see them. Then you will see, when they sit down, you see them drawing it up. They are not drawing, they are showing you, they actually tell you, see something. See something. Because small time, after 1 minute, it will drop again. This. Why you wear them? You don't get another thing to wear. Or they will go and sit down. Then you see them. You see them there. Trying to look like a responsible person. Pretending that it's covering it. Covering what? Had they come to Bread Assembly Church? And shame on you elderly women that will not correct them. Shame to you old members. You don't know that they are standing your testimony that these are members of your church. Instead of you to fight them and tell them, stop disgracing us. Why will you dress like this? You will look. And then, when even before you are doing it, another sister will tell you, leave her now. Waiting concern you. You face your God. You face your God. They are the same. Just want you to know God hates it. Praise the Lord. That is the work he will do. He has to remove all that. That is the spirit he will change. That worldly spirit, worldliness, the word of God cannot prosper on such a ground. Worldliness will choke it. I see even women that are grandmothers in this church. They will tie, wear one tight or something. You know, what do you say? Am I blind? When they come drop something for altar, they look everybody. I go look the brother went dressed with jeans like madman, tear everywhere. Tear for knee, tear for back. Tear goes and say, see this one. Now crazy worry this one. Father, deliver him, oh God. Then I go turn again. I go see women. The one when they come here, then they will come and then kneel down with short skirt and look back. Thank God we put women one side, put men one side. Shameless people. The brother is going to church. He will carry one palm sandal. He gets shoe, he gets cloth for house. But when they come to church, so when are you going to wear the cloth you have? They're not going to bury you with your cloth too. Okay. Oh. Number three. For the seed to be fruitful, it must have roots. There must be root before the fruit can be formed. And what is this root that you need before the fruit? It is the hearing ear. There must be a hearing ear before there can ever be fruit. There must be an obedient heart. That's the root. There must be thirsty hearts. Matthew 5 verse 6 says, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. There must be a heart, a thirsty heart, heart full of hunger to live a life pleasing before God. They are the type that when they receive the word of God, hallelujah, and this root, when they receive the word of God, there must be fruit. And this root goes down. That's why Apostle Paul prayed in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17. What did he say?
That
Ephesians
Christ chapter 3. May dwell in your hearts by faith.
That what?
That ye being rooted and grounded in love.
You have to be rooted and grounded for the word to be established and become fruitful. How? Isaiah chapter 37, verse 31. Isaiah 37 verse 31.
And the remnant that is escaped of the house of Judah,
what will happen?
Shall again take root downward.
They are to take root downward
and bear fruit upward.
And they will bear fruit upward. If the root is not deep down, there will be not much fruit upwards. Therefore, the word of God planted in you must be allowed to grow taproot. Taproot. God himself does it. The depth that you go in the word of God determines how fruitful your spiritual life will be. And that is why when you look at Luke chapter 8 verse 15, he ended it. The way Luke put it is different from the way Mark put it.
But that's on the good ground that day, which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience.
Now, that is the word. He said you will bring out the fruit with patience because it takes time for the root to be grounded. So you need patience. And that's why Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 5 emphasized the need for that patience from verse 3.
And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh
patience. We produce patience, and we need patience. And the patience will give you experience, and it's experience that gives you hope. The process of getting, achieving that virtue of patience, it includes God allowing you to go through various experiences, through trials. In James chapter 1, verse 2, 3, 4, James chapter 1, this is the way James
brethren,
put it.
Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience.
You see, it is to produce patience. Because without patience, you won't be able to allow God to work on you to produce the fruits. Go on.
But let patience have a perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire.
So 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 7, liken it to the process of gold.
That the trial of your faith, being more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ.
And it's part of the workmanship of God. When you come pick gold, you're picking gold that has been under the earth for so long, so many things are attached to it. So many other metals are even attached to it. The process of getting that pure gold, fine gold, they call it refined gold, is fire. And that is how our faith is likened to. There are so many of us that got too yoked to the world, and you have to go through a process that will remove every worldliness from you. It's God that will do it. And many of us will wonder what is happening to us. If you are going to produce fruit acceptable before God, then you must submit yourself for God to walk a walk of purification, for that word to be meaningful in your life, for you to produce the desired fruits. And when that seed, why you say patience? We need patience because there is a process before the seed that was planted will germinate. And so he gave an example of it in Mark chapter 4, verse 26, 27, 28.
And he said, so is the kingdom of God.
Yes.
As if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself.
Just it is planted. Amen. You don't know what is happening on the ground. Two things are happening on the ground. Except a corn of wheat fall to the ground and die. There is a life in that seed that when it is dropped there, there is something that happens that removes the covering, a protection of that seed. If it finds a good soil, there is a life that is in that seed. It takes some time before you will notice that the blade has shot up. Why does it take some time? It is building root. There must be root to tap from the water that is on the ground to help it grow. And the first thing, what happens?
For the earth bringeth forth fruits of herself. First the blade.
Yes.
Then the ear.
Yes.
After that, the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth.
Now, you see the process. That's why you have to be patient. The blade comes out. It's not yet the fruit. Hallelujah. The ear comes out. The corn in the ear comes out. It is not yet the fruit. Until the fruit is produced, it is then the owner who planted is ready to eat the fruit. What happens?
But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because
it
the harvest.
It is only when the seed that was planted is seen again produced. Whatever else you are going through, unless you begin to see that fruit produced, you are still going through the process to produce the fruit. And it is only when the fruit is produced that you can now speak like Jesus Christ spoke. If you see me, you see the Father. It is only then, hallelujah, that you can have the full adoption. Unless the fruit is produced, the second commandment to dominate, have dominion, can never take effect. Because the power to dominate comes from the fruit. If you have no fruit, you cannot have the power. He said, this is my beloved son in whom I well pleased. Hear ye him. Authority is given to him. Because, hallelujah. What did he say in John chapter 8 verse 29? John chapter 8 verse 29, Jesus Christ.
And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone.
Why?
For I do always those things that please him.
You see? The only reason why God will be with you always is because you do those things always that are pleasing before God. And that is, those things you do is the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the word that was planted in you, what it has produced in you is the fruit. I'm talking to you in particular. That is the reason why many of us cannot cast out devils. If we see Satan, we run away. We see witch, we run away. Because some of you only cast out devils like one healer and deliverance minister does. Like the sons of Sceva, I cast you out. I join you to count in the name of Jesus whom Paul preached. Whom this one. You only do it like others did because you don't have the authority. You don't have the authority. And the reason you don't have the authority is because the accuser of the brethren is accusing you of something. Even God himself is unhappy with you. He said, ye shall have power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Then you will be my witnesses. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they will cast out devils. That is the power, authority given to us to be fruitful, multiply, and we are to dominate, have dominion over everything. Everything must bow to us because the name of Jesus, every knee bow, and we are heirs and joined heirs with him. The power he has, the church is supposed to have it too. Praise the Lord. And so when we sing that, our song, hymn number 306, it says, we are the word made flesh. What is fruit? The fruit is the word that was planted now, made flesh. The word that was planted, made flesh. We are the word made flesh today. This is what the scriptures say. He said, and our names are seen with thee, redeemed and perfect without sin. Yes, we are anointed and inspired by our God, who's the original life. Hallelujah. The original life and the original seed. Oh, the original word is what I believe. The Son of Man
is revealed as heaven seed. Be of
the original. What's the next stanza? The next stanza is also the assurance. The next stanza. Has opened up at last. Victory is ours. Who we are chained down in them. You see? Jubilee has sounded. And we have responded to our God. Who's original? Oh, the original. The original seed. The original word is what I believe. The Son of Man. The seven seed. The original. The next stanza again. Say, we are called unto adoption, full authority and power. Sleeping saints will wake and join for translation in this hour. Oh, yes. Glory, hallelujah, to our God, the original. Now, that song becomes meaningful. Hallelujah. we are called unto adoption, full authority and power. But you can never exercise it if you don't have the fruits to back it up. He says, our eyes of understanding he has opened. He said, and through Jubilee has sounded, who were chained down in the past. Hey! Who chained you in the past? False preachers, denominational preachers, and we, end-time message believers, followers of the ministry of William Branham, some use coat and tie us. They use the quotes of William Branham, wrongly apply those quotes and tie us. And they will tell you that the fruit that you need to bear is to believe William Branham. It's a lie. That is not the fruit. Amen. That is not the fruit. They tie us until you cannot use your gift, because only William Branham can prophesy, can see vision. They tie us. Some of them don't believe in evangelism. I have studied some of them. No life, no Christian life in them. Some of them. My brother from Ghana. You came from Ghana for prayers a few days ago. He said, where he is in Volta region in Ghana, he could not attend the church. He said, once they know that where you receive the message is Brother Assembly, Lagos, he said, the pastor will start to fight you. They don't want to have you in their midst. Is that Christianity? Does light run away from darkness if you believe we're in darkness? We want Select to come here. We want Choosing to come here. We want Catholics to come here. Amen. Anybody that runs away from another Christian, something is wrong. If you run away from Satan, it means what Satan carries is stronger than your own. No life. Because I say there is no Gentile promise, no Elijah promise to the Gentile. They call me devil. They don't want to associate with me. And woe betide their church member, they see you, that you come here. Is that Christianity? No life, nothing. But when we are chained down in that such system, your denomination chained you down. You heard what that man was saying. He said, he mentioned the name of denomination and how God delivered him when he watched Bright TV. People are running away from their denomination. Hey, and you people that are sitting down here, listen very well. In Matthew chapter 3 and verse 7 again, 8, 9, 10.
But when as I round up. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruit meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham.
Verse 10, my emphasis.
And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees.
Again.
And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit.
Any tree sitting down here in Brother Assembly now, watching us online from around the world, and you don't bring forth good fruit, what will happen?
Is hewn down.
You will be hewn down. What will happen?
And cast into the fire.
Into the fire. Matthew 15, we always quote that verse. Read it from verse 8.
Let's read from verse 8. These people draweth nigh unto me with their mouths.
You say what?
These people draweth nigh unto me with their mouths.
And they are even in Brother Assembly Church. They are in every church.
And honoreth me with their lips.
But what?
But their hearts far, is far from me.
Far. And we know it by their actions, even among those, some of them here. Go on.
But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrine is the commandment of men.
Uh-huh.
And he called the multitude and said unto them,
listen to what he said.
Hear and understand.
Yes.
Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man,
uh-huh.
but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man.
Uh-huh.
Then came his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? But he answered and said,
now,
every
this
plant.
This is the verse I'm looking for.
Every plant.
Every plant. Every brother, sister.
Which my heavenly Father hath not planted.
If it's not the one that has planted you,
shall be
by his word that was implanted in you, incorruptible seed in you that will bring forth fruit, shall be rooted up. The reason it shall be rooted up is because you don't have the ability to produce fruit. If you do, then bring forth fruit suitable for repentance. For by their fruits, we will know them. Bring forth good fruit. You have fruit, oh, but they are not good fruit. Some of us are like Ishmael. Ishmael was fathered by Abraham in Genesis chapter 16 from verse 9.
And the angel of the Lord said unto her,
yes,
return to thy mistress and submit thyself under her hands. And the angel of the Lord said unto her,
Hagar,
I will multiply thy seed exceedingly.
Uh-huh. That is concerning Ishmael.
That it shall not be numbered for multitude.
Uh-huh.
And the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child, and shall bear a son,
uh-huh.
and shall call his name Ishmael.
An angel even gave the name. That an angel gave you name. Prophet Joseph, an angel gave you name. Does not change your nature. That they baptize you in Catholic Church and gave you baptismal name does not change your nature. It's not the name you bear that brings the fruit, though. Even though all of us were Christians, they will be like Christ. Go on.
And shall call his name Ishmael.
But see.
Because the Lord hath heard thy affliction.
Okay.
And he will be a wild man.
Eh? The son of Abraham. But by a carnal arrangement. What will he be?
He will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him.
Hey.
And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren.
And verse 13.
And she called the name of the Lord and spoke unto her, thou God seest me.
Uh-huh.
For she said, have I also yet looked after him that seeth me?
You give testimony. But he's a wild person. Are there children of Hagar here? Every Gentile. Verse 24, Romans chapter 11. Listen. Who
for
we are.
If thou were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and we are grafted contrary to nature.
We are cut off from a very wild nature. This is the mystery of salvation. Our origin is wild, but it must be changed through the workmanship of God in us. That is the mystery of redemption. If you don't submit him to him, for him to do a change, a work in you, brethren, if you don't allow God to work in you, you cannot produce good fruit. By nature, we are wild. We are wild. And we are planted in the church. But they will be uprooted. Brethren, before the rapture, they will be uprooted. Yes. And that is the parable that we see in Matthew 13, verse 30. The tares and the wheat, they grow together in the same church of Jesus Christ.
Let both grow together until the harvest.
Yes.
And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather you together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn.
The separation has already started, generally in the body of Christ. And it will happen in every local assembly so that you go to where you belong. It's not everybody that is here now that belongs to this ministry. May God help you to locate your ministry in the name of Jesus. It's not everybody that I am their pastor. I cannot profit you. You can't benefit from my ministry if God did not call me to be your pastor. And my sheep will hear my voice. They are the ones that follow my teachings. The tares too have their reapers that will preach to them. There must be separation. And brethren, the separation is going on now. Apostle Paul said in Galatians chapter 4, verse 22 and verse 23.
Galatians chapter 4. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh.
Can you see? Carnal people. The carnal man can never please God.
But he of the free woman was by promise. Which seems an allegory. For these are the two covenants. The one
go to verse 28.
Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise.
We are the children of promise.
But as then, he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the
you
spirit.
You can know them even in the ministry here now. One identification of these tears in our midst that must be uprooted. They are always the one attacking. They are always the one setting trap. They are always the one grumbling against, murmuring against, setting heads together. That is the fruit they have to bear. Because they are wild. They are happy when you are sad. Because they are wild. The fruit they bear indicates their origin. I say it so that you will know which one you belong. Instead of you to look at yourself, you say, hey, me I know say, hey, me I know say, hey, not them, I know, not them. Don't clean your face, you look at another person's face. Read on verse 28 again.
Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son. For the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman.
Cast them out. They cannot be heir. They cannot enjoy this rapture together with us. They can't. They can't. There must be separation. And God is the one doing the separation. And that's the reason why we that are teachers of the word, it doesn't stumble us. When you see somebody who was here with us, identify with us, made us believe that he believed what we believe, and all of a sudden you don't see them again. The next thing is you will see them behind here. There's one church behind the canal here where they put the image of Mary at the altar. And the person is there. She's even in the choir. You don't see us angry. But we don't condemn them. Because no matter how far you go, you may be like the prodigal son. We still give room that they can come back. But all we know is that it simply means you are here to understand what we are doing here. If you decide for any reason and not go to church again and stay and join online, as bad as it looks, at least it shows that you have understood what we're doing here. The only thing is that you have problem coming to fellowship. But to live here and go and be under the pastorate of a woman is your pastor, and you pass through this place. And some of those women also pass through this place to go and open church. And people who are serving as ministers are there working for the woman. You know that this scripture is true. It is separation time. It is separation time. And so what is The process of this separation, as the seed is forming, for the seed to form, hallelujah, you have the shout. The shout, you cannot bear fruit in a wrong setting. You cannot bear fruit. What you eat determines how healthy you will become. If what you hear is worldly sermon, you will become worldly. Attended a church in Abuja. It's a wedding of a relation. And the pastor was preaching, and that day, Man U and Chelsea or something like that. And he was saying, he spent over 30 minutes promoting his football club. Amen. When St. Valentine is coming, they make it a serious, they decorate the church, do everything, and to them, they are saying it's a period to exchange love, love, love. Which love passed the love that Jesus Christ gave us? That's to tell you, all tables are full of vomit. Imagine the type of food that they are serving in that type of table. What will it produce? The type of Christian we see. Church members are in BB Niger. Church members. It's not everything we participate in. Christian sister, you cannot be an athlete running with pants only on the track. They say, I'm an athlete. I'm running 100 meter dash. I'm running 100 meters hurdle. And then they wear pants. Say, wait, I'm an athlete. An athlete. Hey! Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Anything that offends your faith, avoid it. Avoid it. He said, come out of her, my people. Come out of unbelief. Come out of that mixture. Even though you will never bear fruit because you saw the different soils, while they are unproductive, it is because of their conditions. Because of their conditions. And I'm mentioning them now. I say, one of them is this mixture. Evil communication corrupts good manners. Come out from error. Come out. The coming of the Lord begins with a shout. That shout is, come out of her, my people, and don't be partaker of her sins. Be ye not unequally yoked with unbelievers. Be ye separate. Be separated from the world by the life that we live. By the life that we live. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That's why you should allow God to work on you. The pastors, we have less job. Imagine me teaching a man to take care of his wife. It's because you are not studying the Bible. There are men that if you make your wife cry and you are happy, you are a devil. It's not enter. Be sure you are not making your wife to cry before you shout enter, because some of you don't know what I know. Christian, you are a Christian. You told a woman you love her. You made her believe that you love her. She first secured and came to you. Then after you marry, the Bible says no divorce. No, you know you can't go. Because she depends on you. You even make her to depend on you so that you will be winching her like that. And you carry Bible. And you bring tithe and offering. That tithe and offering, you are actually insulting God. Instead of a blessing, it will be a curse on you. If you are not a believer, don't bring tithe to God. Okay, in this church, don't bring it. You are insulting God. Go and sleep with the man, finish. Then he give you money. Hey, the Lord has blessed me. Which Lord bless you? They are coming to the altar. Then you are wondering why you are facing disappointment. God himself will go and break it. So I don't bring those abominable things to his house. Pastor Moses, are you not being too hard? Because I don't know how else I will say it to pierce. They say the word of God, now hammer. I want to hammer some people. What I'm saying, don't be me to come. And after I marry her, finish, she change. Now you make her change. You must take responsibility. Your wife is who you have designed her to be. If she has changed, then you can come to pastor. Pastor, how will I do it? I may ask you 1, 2, 3 questions, and then you will see the answer. Do you give her money? Are you sure you are not the type? There are some men that when they give their wife money to go to market, they must bring receipt with evidence. Oh, but now we are person they work in the shop now. Praise the Lord. They frown when I say, give your ATM card to your wife. Amen. The women are hearing, but I can tell you, I hope they will not hear what I want to say now. Please don't hear what I want to say now. Create another account. Give her that one. Now you they receive the alert. When the money finish, drop small inside. The main account, not give her the card. And don't tell her you have another account. So that you can have peace. She be carrying, I have card. Meanwhile, now what do you want her to spend? How you put there? I hope the sister didn't hear me. Praise the Lord. That is how it is done. To have peace. Allow your wife to walk. So that she can have freedom to use her money too. Not depending only on you. And the worst ones, I call them the highest display of ignorance in this 21st century. To see that a man is troubling a woman for not giving him a baby boy is the highest display of ignorance I can see in this age. It just shows you are so primitive until you have gone mad. Is it not what you give her, she will return to you? Go and try it. Go and meet with another girl outside. If now you pregnant her, now another girl will give you. If she give you boy, if he be send another boy, another man now pregnant her, he won't carry and give you. To disturb your family. If your wife is not able to give you a boy, know where you will go. No other woman will be able to give you a boy. Because if it is your seed, it is a boy you gave her, a boy she will return to you. Go and ask any medical doctor, they will tell you that. If you want a boy, the process will go on in you. Then the two of you will do, the doctor will lead you on how the boy will enter. Or come before the Lord and ask him. It's what you ask, he will give you. If any girl give you man outside, go and do DNA. It's wrong, brethren, it's wrong. It's wrong to leave your wife at home and be taking care of another girl outside. It's wrong. And it's shameful for you to do that. It just shows that you are is the highest display of irresponsibility. It's wrong. It's a wild lifestyle. Come out of that lifestyle. God is angry. He's angry. He's angry at such. And that is why many of us suffer the consequence of sin. It is sin if you do that. It's sin if you do that. It just shows you have a psychiatric problem now. You leave your wife, then one girl that has other boyfriends up and down. Collect from you, collect from you, collect from, collect, collect, collect. And then nothing, nothing, nothing. Then this poor woman here at home, you are displaying her like photo for ceremony. And you must dress, she must dress well. The way the woman appears is your glory. It's evidence of how you take care of her. It's true. I know that there are some women that no matter how you feed them, they know they fat. Like Ijoma, coordinator. Angalake. I thought this was a single sister until they tell me say he gave 5 children. Bengale like that. No matter which food you give and eat, I say they look you. At least the husband, everywhere you go, the husband will talk, say, I take care of her. But the rest, you must take care of your wife. Give her better cream to rub. Better soap to bath. Make sure her room is comfortable. When she has children, men normally separate from the women's bedroom to have peace so that they can carry with their ministry with the child. Make sure her room is comfortable. And don't buy only one car when you can afford a car for her. So that when you go out, she go to enter a car that they go about. It's wrong. Leave the car with her. If you have only one car, leave the car with her and you go on Okada or buy another one. Hey, women are clapping their hands now. One brother said, women are supposed to pray for their husbands. You are supposed to be praying for your husbands, for them to progress. But he said, the men too, stay in one place so that their prayer will work. Can we stand up? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Listen, church. This year, determined to produce good fruit. Let us have a change of character. God is interested in our character. The way we relate with one another, the way we relate each other. It's true. Praise the Lord. And may God help us in the name of Jesus Christ. I say, may the Lord help us in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. One prayer point we must take before we